Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, relationship healer, helping you heal all your relationships through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, available at Amazon.com. I'm also director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, speaker, mentor, and seminar leader. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I'm speaking with Miss Toy. She has been an advocate for the disabled for more than 12 years. Although she's taken a special interest in those with MS, she champions for everyone. Miss Toy is a doer, so don't dare this lady lest you want it done. Imperfect is her latest passion. She wants to talk about a subject that needs a spotlight put on it, and she'll explain what that is. Her beliefs are traditional, and you will always know where you stand with her. Finally, like the other hosts on Sex Talk Radio Network, which she hosts, Miss Toy wants to share, educate, and have fun about a lot of interesting topics. This is going to be an unusual, enlightening, and fun-filled interview. So I'm excited to welcome Miss Toy. Welcome.
Hey. Thank you. I am so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk with you because our listeners are in for a treat and they really don't know what to expect. So before we get Before we get to the topic, I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
First of all, your name is Miss Toy, so maybe you can explain what your name symbolizes.
Well, I have a business that I run. It's on a website, www.keeping-secrets.com. And on that site, your listeners will find some of the best and most interesting sex toys and material that they have ever seen. We are discreet, we are distinguished, and we are sumptuous. It is a wonderful, wonderful site, and I think they'll enjoy it. So thus came the name Miss Toy, because I, you know, would have people tell me all the time, and they would start it with, hey, you know, that kind of thing. So I said, okay, this isn't working. Let me come up with a name. So Miss Toy was born.
Yeah, that's great. And you have blog posts. You have lots of information there, too.
I do. If they go to the site, you know, they'll see some of the things that are on it. Of course, Imperfect is linked to that, and that's through sextalkradionetwork.com. And I do have a blog post packed with all sorts of information, topics that I felt were important to talk about, not just topics dealing with sex toys, but, you know, different matters. We talk about cancer and illness and how that may affect your sex life. We talk about people who are in the closet and how they may come out. And of course, we also talk about sex toys. So it's a lot of stuff there, and I think that your listeners will find it interesting.
Well, one of the things that I've realized in the media, they show sexuality as something that just happens between young people and beautiful people and slender and fit. So it seems as though what you are doing is encompassing all the different aspects, aging and chronic illness and all different problems and situations that people may have, and how to enjoy life and be more sensual and sexual, along with
with
healing lots of stuff.
I mean, just because you may be a little older doesn't mean your sex drive stops, you know. So, and, you know, my boyfriend is 12 years my senior. And so we have a very active and fulfilling sex life. So age, you know, it factors in, but not, it doesn't play a huge role in a person's sex life, because I think as you age, what sex is becomes different. You know, there, I think there's a time in your life when it's just sex and you want to have it and do it and have great orgasms. And then there's sex where you want to have babies. And then there's sex where you just really want to be intimate with your partner, you know. So it's really, you know, different stages, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about your background and training and what led to your creating these sites and the radio show that you have?
Well, I was asked for years to do a podcast, and I always turned everyone down who asked me. I had a background in doing voiceovers, so from that, people would contact me and ask me about, you know, doing podcasting. And I got asked to do all kinds of podcasts, you know, everything from movie reviews to what I'm doing now. And I think that you have to be very selective about what you bring into your life, no matter what it is, what, even down to what you wear, let alone what you're doing and putting out there. And I wanted to make sure that what I was putting out was very positive and educational, you know, and fun at the same time. I didn't just want to put junk out there, because
there's so much. And you're not making it all heavy. It's not like all heavy about illness and ailments and aging.
No, no. We can't do that. It, you know, you don't want to be a drag. when people,
but you, also,
you don't want it to just be like,
Yeah, you also focus on the disabled. Tell a little bit about that and how you got interested in that.
Well, personally, from my personal standpoint, I have multiple sclerosis, and I've had it for about 15 years. So when I began to think about doing this podcast, and with the crux of it being sexuality, I began to talk to some friends and family about, you know, sex and disability and all that, I would get all kinds of funny looks, because I think for the most part, people think if you have a disability, well, surely you're not having sex, you know.
Right.
So that is how Imperfect was born, because I wanted to explore different disabilities, you know, as well as sexuality. And what I've discovered is that disability is an expansive term. You know, what's disabling to one person is not disabling to another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I came up with it.
Wow. You have a lot to offer people, you know, in terms of education. Because people can be...
I hope so.
Yeah, people can be very judgmental. As long as they're healthy, say, well, I wouldn't be sick like that. But, you know, it can happen to anybody at any time.
My mother used to say death was the great equalizer, you know? And I tend to think it's illness.
I
tend to think illness is the great equalizer among us humans here on Earth. It's not death. I mean, it really isn't. Because,
nobody
really wants to be sick. No one. And there are many types of cultures and religions and everything that just really embrace death. So they don't have a problem with it. But if you ask the average person, hey, do you want to have the flu? Or do you want to, you know, be a paraplegic? Most people are going to say no. No. You know.
And so, there are actually people that got a disease. I remember someone saying it about AIDS, and another person talking about how she had lost one or both legs. And they were almost grateful for the disease because it brought them closer to their own self and to intimacy with the people around them. You know, not that you would wish
everybody,
it on yourself.
Yeah, Dr. Goodstone, everybody's experience is so different. I have done so many interviews with all different types of people with, you know, exploring all different types of disabilities from being obese to being a paraplegic, women who have had ovarian cancer. I mean, just all types of disability. And everyone's experience is really, really different, you know, along with the fact as to how they now deal with their sexuality. So it's just different for everyone. I don't think I've ever heard two stories that were alike.
And you pointed out something, that our sexuality is really representing who we are, how we feel, how sensual we feel, how we feel about our body. So if you can come to terms with that aspect, then it doesn't matter so much what has happened to you. You can still feel good about being alive and being who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. I like that. I like that a whole lot. You're exactly right.
Thank you. So I guess now we can come to the topic for this talk, which has to do with age differences. You said that your partner is 12 years older. So how does that affect you? Positive and negative.
Positive and negative. Okay. Well, the positive is he's had a little bit more life experience. There are certain things he knows about that I just haven't been through yet. And so it makes for interesting conversation. Another positive is I like it. I like the fact that he's older. I find it extremely attractive. And some people might say that's a fetish, but I like it. I'm not going to lie. And another positive, he's good looking. He really is a nice looking man.
Oh, that helps.
Oh, yeah. He's easy on the eyes. So that helps. The negative would be almost the same things, but I guess the other side of the coin, because of his life experience, it tends to make him a little bit of a know-it-all.
Right.
But he's willing to listen. Most times he's willing to listen. He's not so much of a know-it-all that he's like, later for that. You know, he listens. The negative, I think the second thing would be, you know, he is older, and although he is good looking, when people see him and they see me, it's sort of like, okay, what's going on here? Because a lot of people tell me I look way young for my age. And my boyfriend has white hair, you know, silver hair. He's older. I mean, what can I say?
But you're pointing out something. Some people, like you, some people may look older themselves, and the older person may look younger, so they may not look like they're a big difference in age.
Yes.
You're pointing out just that the looks is a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we aren't that far apart, but visually, until you start talking to us, it's, I think, kind of stunning for some people when they look at us. It's sort of like, okay, what's going on here? And
I have another question about this.
Mm-hmm.
Peer groups, like if he is older than you, his friends may be even older than him. And your friends can be around your age or maybe younger than you. So how does that work? Does that have any effect?
Well, when I met his friends, a lot of them were sort of like, oh, man, you know, kind of, you know, giving the high five, that kind of thing. Because they're like, you know, she's way young. And he said, no, she's not that young. The other thing about my boyfriend and I is that we are so, he is going outside of his peer group comfort zone. And they are kind of like, oh, you know, she's different. You know, what's that like? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my friends, you know, they just say, Miss Toy, what, you know, what can we expect from you? Anything and everything. You know, it's always going to be something different with you. So, there you go.
How did they get along with him, your friends?
Oh, fine. I mean, it, you know, we don't, most of my friends, unfortunately, there are a couple that live where I stay, but most of them stay out of state. So, and I, my peer group is extremely tiny. His peer group is much larger than mine. But my, I've had like the same friends since I was in high school. And so it's a very small group of people. He's very friendly, very outgoing. People migrate to him, sort of like a moth to a flame. So he has a much larger peer group than I do. And they're all here where we stay. So that, that, you know, is different for me. Everything about us is different.
I at my health club, I'm friendly with several women that are married to a man about 20 years older than them. And these women are now in their 50s, and the man is in his 70s, and the man has an ailment, some kind of chronic illness. And it has curtailed their activities enormously. So maybe tell a little bit about that. Have you run into that? How do you feel about it?
Mr. P, that's what I call him, he had a bout with cancer. And it was shocking because he appeared to be so healthy. But one of the things he's very good at is going to the doctor. If he has a cough, a scratch, whatever, he's going to the doctor, period.
Yeah.
So when we had this whole cancer thing happen, it sort of woke me up and shook me. Even though I have an illness, it still kind of, I don't know, brought me out of this like romantic fog I was in. Because
mm-hmm.
it was like, okay, this man can get sick. This man can, you know, die because he's a little bit older. But, I mean, you can die whenever, however. But it just brought me out of that fog. It curtailed our activities a little bit, but not too much. I think because I've been dealing with my illness for so long, I was able to really guide him through this whole cancer thing. And, you know, gratefully so now, he's in remission, no cancer, no nothing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's going to be sick. You just have to decide, is that something you can handle? Because everyone is going to be sick, and everybody's reaction to it is going to be different. You know, and I mean, I know you know this, but most men, when they get sick, they're like big babies, you know.
Right. They don't handle
women
as well as women tend to.
It's true. It's
so
true.
I have a question. How has he handled your illness? I mean, you've had it since the beginning with him.
I told him straight off the bat. I told him, you know, what was going on. I told him, you know, how I look at life, how I see things, everything. And for the most part, he's handled it pretty well. I think there was a little bit of a stage of, oh, my God, you need to go to the doctor, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, no, this isn't an MS thing. This is just a hay fever thing, or this is just the flu or whatever. And sometimes I would have to go to see my neurologist, but it would just depend. But for the most part, he's been pretty good. You know, I haven't had to, you know, straighten him out too many times.
And he didn't break up with you because of it, obviously.
Oh, no. That's the reason I told him straight up, because I thought if this is going to be an issue, you need to know now, and we just need to, if that is the case, just say goodbye now. I wasn't going to wait, you know, and stay. I mean, I know a lot of people would be like, oh, my God, how could you say that on a first date? Because it's a part of my life every single day. It's a part of who I am. So we might as well just talk about this from the jump. And, of course, we've talked about it off and on, you know, since then.
But you really are pointing something out. And I always talk about learning about who you are and knowing who the other person is and knowing how relationships work. When you really know yourself and accept yourself and you share openly and honestly and authentically with another person, and if they can accept you that way, you have such a basis for a long-term relationship.
So. I think you're right. And I also think we're friends. Mr. P and I are friends before anything else, and he will say, if you were to ask him about me, one of the first things he will say is, she's my friend. We are best friends, hands down. And it's something that I value tremendously. And I've always said to him, if for some reason we broke up, I would hope that we would stay friends, because we're such good friends. I mean, we really are. If you looked at us, you would think, what in the world do they have in common? But,
so what do you have in common? That's a good question.
We have so many things in common. We both love to laugh. We both love the movies. You know, we have all those sort of couple-y things in common, but we both want to enjoy our life, you know, lives and our life together, and I think that helps a lot when your partner's view of life is the same as yours. And quite frankly, we both love sex, so
that's wonderful to both feel that way and both feel that way toward each other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
See, one of the things that I've seen with illnesses, I'm sorry to be so quick, that one of the people might be complaining a lot and feeling sorry for themselves a lot. And it sounds like both of you have a certain joyful attitude.
I won't lie. That happens. Everybody's going to do that. You have to allow that person to vent. But then there comes a time when, okay, enough. Okay, either we're going to get busy living, like that saying in the movie, or get busy dying.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was ill, I allowed him to vent, to share his frustrations, to share his fears, just to be sad, to complain, to do all that. And then I remember this very distinctly. He had just gotten out of the hospital, and he was, you know, kind of going on, oh, you know, him and Han and oh, Lord, and all that kind of thing. And I just said, you know, enough. We're done here with all that. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about being better. We're not going to talk about death and the sickness and all that. We're going to talk about life. So, you know, I think that's real.
And that's important, because so much research is showing that what we visualize really has an effect. Like for athletes, a skier or a swimmer, when they visualize, a swimmer visualizing longer hands, reaching further, and a skier visualizing going down the mountain smoothly, it affects the muscles, it affects the body, and then when they actually do the activity, they do it better. And the same thing happens with illness. When we visualize health, we are affecting the cells in our body.
And, yeah, and it's hard, but it's something that you have to do. And I think also sometimes people get caught up in the routine of every day, that they kind of get outside of themselves and they don't picture themselves being healthy, being in a good relationship, going on that vacation or whatever the case may be. You know, but the minute something bad comes in, then for whatever reason, that negativity promotes them viewing a negative thing, you know, viewing themselves in a negative way. They come back into themselves and they suddenly say, okay, life's terrible, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But I think you have to make a conscious effort to view yourself all the time in a positive manner. View your relationship in a positive manner. View your life in a positive manner, you know, whatever it may be. And I know that it's hard, you know, and this, and our world is not Mayberry, you know, but I think it's something we have to do.
And another aspect is how your partner treats you and how they think about you during the time that you're ill. Brad Pitt was speaking about how he felt about his wife, Angelina Jolie. I think they're married. He was talking about how he had been letting her feel sick and letting her feel depressed, and he was sort of looking around and, you know, not loving her enough. And then he changed his attitude and started focusing on loving her and telling her how beautiful she was, and she started coming out of the ailment and was getting healthier and stronger.
Oh, yeah. That is so
important. Our partners have a huge effect.
Yeah. The way that your partner treats you, the way that you feel when you're with them, and forget being sick. I mean, just on an everyday basis. If you have someone who's treating you like a piece of crap on the street, you know, they're
or someone who's angry with you for inconveniencing mm-hmm. them instead of just loving mm-hmm. you, you know, feeling
exactly.
grateful to have you in their life.
Exactly.
Well,
very
I'd like
true.
You to tell us a little bit more about your websites and what you offer there and your radio show.
Well, Imperfect is a show about sex and disability. So we talk about sex, disability, and anger, or sex and OCD, or sex and tuberculosis, you know, whatever the specific disability is, or we may talk about disability as a more generic thing, because we're also focusing on, say, for instance, film. I did a show on sex, disability, and the movies, and how disabled people are viewed in modern-day cinema and how relationships with disabled people are viewed in modern-day cinema. So that is the show, and that's on sextalkradionetwork.com. And the website, keeping-secrets.com, is for those of us who are 18 and older, and you want to add a little spice to your sex life. I offer a variety of things, you know, from the standard dildo to costumes to kits. We just did a thing where it was the 50 Shades of Grey sex kit. So it was a bunch of different types of things included in that kit. So it's something for everybody there. And I think that if you want to open yourself up, that's a wonderful website for you. You know, and we're very discreet. If you have questions, I definitely try to get answers for you if I don't already know the answer. So I think it's wonderful. you know, but I would encourage your listeners to go check out both websites, see what they think.
Thank you so much, Ms. Toy, for joining me on this call today.
Oh, you are more than welcome. Thank you, Dr. Goodstone. I've had so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Great speaking with you. On our next show, I will be speaking with Andy Nathan, social media networker with a vast amount of knowledge and experience to help you bring your online business to the next level. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Please stop by my Amazon.com site, put my name into the search, and grab a copy of Loving and Healing Kindle books, ebooks, and some books, and my novel. So also, I have a Google Plus Relationship Healing Mastermind community. We have a live hangout every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye for now.